I'd like to call us back into order. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Bickhorst?
Present.
Congresswoman Gitfox?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Keane?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Here.
Congressman Tillman? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Assistant Chief Walker?
Here.
Speaker Shaw?
Present. We do have a quorum. We're now on ONCA 25-121. Enact Amendment 15 ONC Section 2-311E to allow the treasurer to require the monthly financial data from the nation's entities to be in a specified format and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn, how do you wish to proceed?
Close.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against ONCA 25-121? Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Speaker. I want to speak for or against, but I really just have some thoughts about it. I will vote for it today, but I've had conversation with the treasurer about this, and the motivation for this and the desire of the treasurer is to be able to receive their monthly financial data in a way that he can make amendments to it in order to make easier adjustments to fit into his, not amendments as in change numbers, but usually the way he gets the data is in a PDF format, and he literally has to cut and paste or remove images or hand type in things, and it just makes the processes of entering the monthly financial data from our entities into the nation's financials a little bit harder. So he would like to clarify as to how he receives them. He would prefer an Excel workbook, something digital, not a slideshow presentation, not a PDF document. So that's where the desire for this comes from. And I think that is a testament to the work that our treasurer has been doing for us and the relationships that he is trying to establish with our entities and getting everybody on the same page and have very clear, good, transparent communication with one another. And I think that's noble. It has done us a lot of good to get on the same page as a nation with all of our entities and a treasurer who is paying very close attention to our finances, and we're benefiting from that. And I think this is one step that allows him to request the data in a simple Excel workbook spreadsheet format, and I think that is a good first step. This does not address the information that they utilize for their audits. I also think that's an important conversation as well. But this is a starting point to offer points of clarification for our entities and our treasurer to have better communication every month. I think this is a step in the right direction, and I hope that it is implemented in a way that serves us well.
Would any other members like to speak? Hearing none, Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have the floor.
Waive my time.
The question is, shall ONCA 25-121 pass? Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Yes.
Congresswoman Gitfox?
Yes.
Excuse me. Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keane?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. ONCA 25-121 passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor, please say yes. Any opposed, please say no. The alternate effective date passes. ONCA 25-121 will be advanced to enrollment. We're now on ONCR 2519, a resolution to call for the resignation of Osage Nation Attorney General Clint Patterson. The sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn, how do you wish to proceed?
I will close.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against ONCR 2519? Hearing that, Congresswoman Rivart.
Thank you. Good morning again. So yesterday I had to leave session, and at that time a form was being passed around to discharge out of committee. And it looks as though that this bill was taken out of committee. With the membership issue, and Congressman Potts, you know, your bill is in appropriations for the audit piece of it, but the whole issue at hand has been very discerning. I don't like it. I take our membership to this government very seriously. Very serious. And I know the membership committee, they had held a hearing. And although some of the results of that hearing weren't as strong as I would have liked, there were still issues at hand. My biggest concern, and I think this body has heard it very loud and clear, is the point that the Department of Interior has issued a CDIB to a non-Osage. And we can't remedy that. That's a problem. To me, that's the biggest problem. We can remedy the rest, but this particular resolution has something to do with the Attorney General. And I've told my colleagues, listen, when we have an issue at hand, I'm open and I'll listen, and I can be flexible in my vote. I like to listen and hear my colleagues. It's the language in this resolution, the part that says that the Attorney General did not complete what was required of him as far as qualifications go. Where I'm hung up is that before I was elected to my seat, that a Congress in our chief appointed an Attorney General that wasn't qualified. That's where I'm hung up with the resolution as it's written, because it says that he didn't do that. And no, he didn't, and shame on him. And I've said that. But we also, as a body and the chief, we appointed someone that wasn't qualified based off our own statute. That's where I have a little bit. Everything doesn't seem in order here. You talk about point of order. Whoa. I don't know. I think that should have been addressed a long time ago. And I did hear Congresswoman Goodfox as the speaker. She tried to do so through an email, but guess what? As soon as that vote left this body, we have no more authority other than removal. And so I'm hoping other people come to this podium to speak to this, because this is a big deal. Now, as far as a resignation, I asked Attorney General Clint Patterson, are you going to resign? He said no. Now, I understand the sponsor wanted it out of committee so everybody could vote, and I understand that too. But I don't know that he's going to resign, so does this send a message that this body would like for you to resign? I think the message has already been sent from him. He's not. So I'm assuming, and nothing was budgeted, that our next is removal. And I hope to hear from everybody coming up to this podium on this resolution. What's the next step? So I don't like the language. And I may be a solo no vote on this, but that's where I am as a Congress member. I don't like the language in this resolution. If that would have been removed, then I may have voted yes. And again, I want to go along with this body. I do. I want to say, hey, AG, we take this serious. But that's not what this resolution says. I'd rather us be taking a vote on whether we're going to remove him or not. But we're here messing around with his resignation. So I don't know. I just hope to hear from everybody else at the podium. Thank you.
Congressman Keene.
I support this resolution, so I'm going to bring up a few points. One, the law is clear. You had to become admitted to all the district courts, U.S. district courts in Oklahoma. Why did you wait so long? What's the holdup? Mr. Patterson was here. I asked him about multiple ethical violations. There was over 30. He then said, well, he could have done something, but it was Congress's fault. You guys didn't put nothing in law. Well, where was the communication with us? You know, you have these admin proceedings coming through. Where was the outreach to us to work with us to do that? If I hadn't brought that up, it's still all these ethical cases would still be going in a black hole. I mentioned the Seminole Nation. I mentioned how much outsourcing the legal work we do. I'm a practicing attorney. I'm in court 4 times a week. We're paying other attorneys to do the work of our AG office. The Seminole Nation is similar in size to us. If we want to change the law and just hire a firm to be our AG, we can do that. We can do that. We have attorneys who make 6 figures who sit up there. They need to be the ones doing the legal work. Again, I'm not talking about complex tax derivative cases. I'm talking about criminal prosecutions, reservation cases, numerous things like that. We're hiring outside attorneys probably $400 an hour to do the work that our own AG office should be doing. I think that's something else that needs to be examined. So again, and the thing with the federal courts, there's not like a test. It's not a bar exam. You simply put in your application and push it. You get it stamped by a federal official. You go get sworn in a federal district court. That's what our law says. That should be an easy thing to do. That should be easy, but it wasn't. So I just want to say that much, and I understand this is a hard vote, and I echo Congresswoman Revard's sentiments as well. I'd like to hear from more people up here. And again, the law doesn't, Mr. Patterson doesn't have to resign, you know. So, but I still think this would send a big symbolic message at the very least. And one other point, I was very disturbed. Again, I actually introduced a bill during this time involving the Nakia Parker situation. Nakia got his job back. We have the Osage News reporting. The AG took this to an evidentiary hearing. The AG said, why don't you even have witnesses? What are you doing here? Chief is not the AG's boss. Why didn't he get his job back before we had to go to court and waste more time and resources? If I go to court tomorrow afternoon and I don't have any evidence to make my case, the judge is going to say, hey, Mr. Keene, come back in my chamber. We're going to talk about this. That's what happens in court. You got to bring the goods. Where were the goods? And what speaks to that is the chief's not even his boss. So let's say the chief really wanted Nakia gone. Well, that don't matter. It was the AG bringing the case. Only we can remove him. The chief can't. We approve his budget. We're his. That's it. We give autonomy to that position. So in the future, I hope we do get an AG that maybe has more of a spine. You know, you have independence and autonomy. Let's use it. So I just want to say that much, and thank you.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
This is a tough one for a number of reasons. Primarily, this is a resolution from this body saying to our Attorney General that we want you to resign. Effectively, don't push us to a place where we have to remove you. This is what we think you should do instead. It's a big ask. Comes with a lot of responsibility, and it's heavily weighted. Should be. I'm going to approach this in a couple of different ways. I'm going to vote yes on the resolution today, but not because I like the language in the resolution, because I don't. It's weak. It's terribly written. It is not a good statement on this behalf of this body. And I'll get more into that too. I realize part five, number five in the resolution says that he has failed to fulfill the requirements. Well, he hasn't, because he did do it. He filed to be in those courts, albeit very late and very recent, but he's done it. So the resolution is inaccurate as it sits. I struggle with that, because if we're going to put such a strong statement out of this body, it better be clear and it better be factual. He didn't do it in a timely manner, and I take issue with that. There's going to be some argument probably that it's an unnecessary requirement. It's frivolous. It really doesn't mean much. It's an easy thing to do. It's not a big deal. But Congresswoman Rivard's right. It's a requirement in law as a qualification for the Attorney General. It should have been taken seriously, and it wasn't. But the point still remains. It's not factual in this resolution as it stands. My first problem with it. My primary issue with the actual resolution, not the ask of our Attorney General to resign, and I'll get to that in a second. But my primary issue is that this didn't come from our membership chair or our membership committee. Maybe it did. Sponsor drafted it, and that's fine. But we do not have a formal report from our membership committee on their recommendation to this body as to how to proceed in this. What their opinion is of how we should proceed in this. We have a report from an investigator after the hearing, but that's not our membership committee. I personally, as a member of this body, would like for the committee to report on their findings and their recommendations to this body. Because if we proceed to removal, I'm going to rely on them as well. That's just me. Now, do I think that it's best that the Attorney General resign? I do. This is a family. This is a nation. A nation that should remain united, progress forward, do what's best for one another, work on one another's behalf, support one another, encourage one another, fight for one another. And if we have a situation in our midst where we're trying to hold somebody accountable for their behavior and they're causing disruption, and they hold a leading seat in this nation, an appointed seat, and we've entrusted them to be one of our leaders. If they're the reason for the strife, if they're the reason for the disruption and the chaos, it's a little bit chaotic, sometimes it's best to remove yourself from the situation, because progress is not going to be made going forward with you in that spot. Regardless of whether you believe that they're right or wrong, or they did something wrong or they didn't, sometimes you just need to remove yourself because you're stalling progress for the nation. And that's where I'm at. We can question all day long whether what he did was right or wrong. And I'll talk about that all day long too. That's fine. I've made my own judgments about that. But the point is, no matter where we stand on it and what he's done wrong or has not done wrong, the point is it's causing contention and it's causing disruption and it's causing chaos. And it is best for the nation if he resigns. It protects everyone. And that's our job down here, is to work to protect the nation and serve this nation. And if that role is not being served well, then I would like to ask for him to resign. So I'll vote yes on this resolution because I believe that his resignation is best for the nation, but not because I agree with some of the tenets of this resolution. Thank you.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Myself and the membership committee have had quite a few discussions on how to proceed, and I thought that this might be the most amenable path forward. It's not a decision of the membership committee. It's not a decision of three members. This is a resolution that calls for all 12 members to weigh in. And I think that charting a path that allows for all 12 members to weigh in is a wise one. I believe that the resolution is clear. I've lost confidence in our Attorney General. To be clear, as soon as we saw some of the evidence, I personally called for him to resign, as did Congressman Tillman. There's 2/3 of the membership committee. But that's a personal conviction that I had, based on the evidence that we have now all seen that has been put into 2 different reports. But let's walk through the resolution together. 1, Mr. Patterson, the Osage Nation Attorney General, applied for and obtained a CDIB card for his non-native adopted child in 2004. That's a fact. It's documented twice and in 2 reports in front of this body. The Osage Nation Attorney General's non-native adopted child was placed on the membership roll in 2010 using the CDIB card as evidence of Osage descent. That is a fact. Documented twice and before every member of this body. 21 ONC 1208, the Office of the Attorney General is the authorized entity to activate all membership removal actions, yet removal of the individual in question was not initiated until December of 2004, when the membership office received notice that the same child was enrolled as an Osage member. That's a fact. Documented twice and in a report in front of you. At 15 ONC 3106A3, the Attorney General is required by law to become admitted to practice the Federal District Courts of Oklahoma. And 5, the Osage Nation Attorney General Clint Patterson has failed to fulfill the eligibility requirements of his office during his 65-month tenure as the Chief Law Enforcement Officer by not applying to be admitted into the Eastern District, Eastern and Western District Courts of Oklahoma. That's a fact. 65 months into his term, he had not done that. Have we gone beyond 65 months at this point? Probably. But when this resolution was written at 65 months, that is a statement of fact. Has he done it since? Of course. Because we called him to the carpet on it. That's not where we should be operating with our Attorney General. Walking back through. Clint Patterson applied for and obtained a CDIB card for a non-Osage adopted daughter. I understand the angst and the anger with the BIA. Wholeheartedly agree. But if a person walks into a bar with a fake ID, no matter how detailed that is, when that individual's arrested, that officer doesn't blame the DMV. The DMV didn't issue that. The DMV came up with these... We're laughing about it. It's really not. The documents used to obtain the CDIB were not accurate. And our AG maintains that I did it all correctly. No matter how good the forgery of that fake ID, they did it all correct. It looks the same. It's wrong. And what's wrong is wrong. We exhausted the review of our laws, and the CDIB card that was obtained in 2004 was used in 2010 to submit for an application for membership. Someone with substantially the same handwriting, this is all testified, it's in a third report actually, a transcript of the hearing that we had. Someone with substantially the same handwriting as Mr. Patterson, residing at the same address as Mr. Patterson, just a few days after Mr. Patterson himself mailed the application for a replacement card, someone mailed the application for membership for a non-Osage minor in Mr. Patterson's care. Under oath, though, he suggested that it may have been the Easter Bunny. That answer alone should be insulting enough for each and every one of us to lose confidence in our Attorney General. We have the requirement in law that the AG be admitted to courts, and from my understanding, I'm not an attorney, but Mr. Keene is correct. What I've been told is that is simple. You pick up the phone and call and ask to be admitted. Myself, I pointed this out when he was being confirmed, and I believe I abstained or I voted no for his initial confirmation because of that fact. It was a reappointment or somewhere along the lines, I believe Congresswoman Goodfox was involved with that we pointed out to him again during his tenure as Attorney General, and it still went unremedied.
Congressman Potts, your time is up.
Madam Speaker, I yield.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you, Speaker. Members, this is not a hard vote for me, and I know where I'm at. I'm voting yes for it. it has come up in discussion, you know, when he was confirmed, he wasn't qualified per the job description. We did have a few no votes based on that. You were not at an abstention. You were a no, Congressman Potts. I remember that. And Congresswoman Lemon and I have had conversations about what did that look like during the conversation? And, it was pointed out that it was an easy no. He was not licensed to practice in those districts, but it was such an easy thing to do that it would get done. It was going to get done. And I'm not even so sure at this point that we may not want to go back and visit that law, right? To say, in the event that we get someone's name that they're not, that they have so much time to do it. I think that needs to be looked at. What are the chances that we have a lawyer that gets appointed? Because now we've started talking about appointments of an AG and a treasurer within so many days. That's now law. And what are the odds? I don't know. I don't know what the odds are that any lawyer that gets appointed into that spot's going to be automatically, right? If they're just a Congressman Keene with a practicing law, that they're all admitted into those district courts. I don't know that. And so I think that's the first thing that comes from this for me of work moving forward, is that we need to look at that. But it was established at that time that it was an easy remedy. No problem. Just got to submit the papers. And yes, an email did go between myself and I think I copied Trey Gill on it. And I sent it to our AG and said, hey, are you licensed to practice in Denver like you're supposed to be? And the answer was no. And why not? Was my response. I just haven't done it. And I'm pretty sure I sent a response back that said, don't make me remove you for this, because I will. You need to get this done. And it took a little bit of time, but he did, but not in all of the areas that he needed to. And I've had a conversation about that. Why not? What is the problem? I just haven't gotten around to it. I'm insulted by that. Not a good response. It's within the job, it's within the law. He's had plenty of time to do it. It just got done. I agree that when this resolution was written, that was a fact. That was factual. If Congresswoman Whitehorn was to amend the resolution and just say, we have zero confidence at this point and you need to resign, I think that probably would have been better, and it wouldn't give some of the members heartburn, because I understand some of their heartburn on that. I do. He is now licensed wherever, you know, in every area he needs to be. That's true. It came late. It did, you know, it came late. I don't look at this any differently as some of the board members we've had. We have lost confidence in some board members. We've had some that have resigned on their own just within the last 3 years. We've had others that conversations and meetings here in the office, we wish some of those board members would have just resigned, because the relationship between that board and the executive was so bad. Nothing good came. Nothing. We saw line item vetoes. There was no discussion. No one was talking. And when they did, it was very volatile. Oh, that's where we're at right now. That is where we're at right now. He needs to resign. The trust between that office, elected officials, and the constituency is broken. It's broke. So I'm going to encourage everyone to vote yes for this. Thank you.
Would any other members like to speak?
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone, again. I appreciate the challenge that Congresswoman Rivard gave us with her opening remarks. It's easy to not get up there or up here and just go ahead and vote no. Some people may think it's not, but it's easy without giving an explanation. Some people say this is a tough one. Some people say it's not a tough one. It depends on your opinion. We all have one. We've heard today that the language isn't acceptable for some folks. I can agree with that. I was very vocal, not in a meeting, of course, but we were sitting down there, and Congresswoman Whitehorn does know this, that I do not agree with some of the bullet points. Congresswoman Goodfox just mentioned that if it just said we've lost confidence, that this would probably possibly, I feel the same, this possibly would have less debate. We've just lost confidence. Some people will say, well, you've got to have a body into the legislation for reasons why. I get that too. Congressman Potts mentioned facts. I disagree. We have to be careful when we say facts. Very, very careful. We know that even in the day what we live in right now at the national level, facts. I do not agree with number one in the resolution. So we've had debate up here about other legislation, about not agreeing with something, one line, a paragraph, and we haven't voted for it. We have work to do, like Congresswoman Goodfox mentioned. We realize that we probably need to consider putting a time frame on when qualifications need to be met. They have so many days. This body chose to go ahead and put time frames on the appointments for Attorney General and Treasurer, which I still feel is I'm putting our line across the toe, our toe across the constitutional line. Our own investigation that was done said there was no fraud found. That is an investigation we paid for. That bothers me. Have I lost confidence? Have our people? I can't speak for all of our people. None of us can. But we're put here to try our very best to keep the personal out of it, which is very hard. We are human beings. To keep our bias out of it. But we're also here because we're worried about votes coming next June or July. That has no weight on my decision today. I cannot get behind some of the bullet points. I want to get behind them, but I cannot. They're not facts. Not all of them. Some people say, like I said earlier, it's a struggle. I have to say that it is, because this is serious. Because if this goes through, when this goes through, and he doesn't resign, perfect question. Are there 10 of us here willing to go down that road? It takes 10 to remove, which is a very high bar, which is as it should be. Do we have enough facts for removal? Because that to me is our next step. And that should be weighted in making this decision. That's for me. I prayed, thought about this, discussed with lots of different folks. Some people feel that there's not enough evidence. It's not factual enough. Some people say, well, we've lost confidence. I agree. Most people would just go ahead and resign. I certainly would. But everybody's different. I wonder too. We go to removal, then he fights the removal, and then we end up in, you know, another court. And you have to ask yourself, is it absolutely blatantly there that fraud was committed? And what did our investigation return? Thank you.
Congresswoman, thank you.
Would any other members like to speak? Congressman Maker?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, yeah, we all know this is a very important issue we're facing. And it's not fun. There's no enjoyment here. When we're asking for a high official in our nation to resign, this is a big thing. It would be a big thing in any other tribal nation. It's a big thing here. And when this was first brought to me, I was chair of the membership committee at that time. And I was very alarmed, disturbed, disappointed in what happened. But it was up to the membership committee to do something. First thing I did was get hold of Mr. Gill, our legal counsel, which is what we do here. He is our legal advisor for this Congress. Whether you like it or not, that's the procedure we do here. We have a procedure here. We have rules. We have rules of Congress for removal. That's the first thing I looked at. I looked at all of our codes. I looked at everything we have in our laws for the steps to go through in this process. It's not a fun thing here. But what makes it special or different is because it involves our Attorney General. If it would have been just a typical tribal member, the Attorney General office would handle it. But here, the principal person is the Attorney General himself. So that's what makes this a different ball game, you might say. And that's why we had to take the steps that we had, and we had to do something because we're the members. We have to. That's our responsibility in the Constitution, our rules of Congress, that we have to have a legal and official membership. So that's what we have to do here. So, like I said, this is not a fun thing for me. That we have to address this issue with our Attorney General. But we are mandated to do it, and that's what we're going to do. And I learned in the Army when I had to testify at a court-martial, you got to go by the rules. And if we're the legislative branch, who else is going to do it but us? We have to. So, thank you.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have the floor.
Good afternoon. It's afternoon now. I told myself I'm going to be brief, and I am. So I do have to respond to a couple of things. I, for one, was not a person that voted to confirm Attorney General Patterson because he did not have the proper credentials. I think you should probably know from working with me enough now by now that to know that would be one thing I would look at. And he was not qualified at the time of his appointment or confirmation. So I did not vote for him and wasn't against anything against his character or his ability. It was based on the fact. And I do believe that I have facts put in here that can be pulled from the reports. I said in the committee hearings, Clint Patterson was the person that filled out the application for Jane Doe's CIB card. He was that person that filled that document out, and he admitted he was. So that's a fact. That CDIB was used to get a membership card. That's a fact. And at the time of the drafting, no one had knew that he, from the hearing, had applied to the Eastern and Western divisions. But the fact that he did go 65 months without doing that in his tenure as the Attorney General is a fact. So I think people have their minds made up on this. I wanted to get one more thing out there too. When I did pull this out of committee, I gave every colleague, including the members that were not present, the opportunity to sign or not sign. I presented it to everybody. So I want to have that straight on the record too. I think I've said just about everything that I want to say, except I don't want to go through a removal trial for our Attorney General. If it turns out against our Attorney General, I see what it does to our people, our Osage people. It separates them from us. And that's not what I want for our Attorney General, Clint Patterson. I don't want him to have a scar on his CV that said he's been removed by his tribe. So the reason I drafted this resolution, the membership committee did not have anything to do with me drafting this resolution. I didn't confer with him and I didn't talk to him about it. I talked to another Congress member about it after the hearing. So please don't think that I'm doing the bidding of a membership committee, although I sat through those hearings and I listened. This was Maria's attempt to just send a message from Congress to our Attorney General. We've lost confidence in you. It's nothing about his character. It's nothing about being a criminal. It has nothing to do with that. And I believe that each one of you have made up in your minds how you're going to vote for that. And I'm not going to try to sway your vote. I'm just explaining myself to you guys as your colleague. So you're going to have to vote your heart, whether you have lost confidence in our Attorney General with this vote. And if you haven't, there's no condemnation over that. I have. So thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it. And I think we're ready to vote.
The question is, shall ONCR 2519 pass? Roll call vote, please.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Yes.
Congresswoman Gitbox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
No.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. ONCR 2519 passes and will be advanced to enrollment. We are now on ONCR 2520, declaring congressional consent and approval of the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board's annual plan of operation for fiscal year 2026. The sponsor is Congressman Bickhorst. Congressman Bickhorst, how do you wish to proceed?
I'll close.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against ONCR 2520? Hearing none, sponsor, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, Assistant Chief, and colleagues. I'll keep this short. As we're all aware, the Gaming Enterprise Board went back to the drawing board, and they come up with some more monies to give the Congress to fund this session. And that's what this is about. Thank you.
The question is, shall ONCR 2520 pass? Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Bakewars?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. ONCR 2520 passes and will be advanced to enrollment. We are now on ONCR 2525, a resolution to approve the FY 2026 Osage Nation Tribal Transportation Program Plan. The sponsor is Congresswoman Redcorn. Congresswoman Redcorn, how do you wish to proceed?
I'll waive my time.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against ONCR 2525? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congressman Bakewars?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon? Congresswoman Lemon, I think you glitched out for a second. Could you please restate your vote?
Yes, ma'am. It is yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. ONCR 2520 passes and will be advanced to enrollment. We are now on ONCR 2526, a resolution to revise and approve the fiscal year 2026 annual revenue projection of the Osage Nation. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rivard. Congresswoman Rivard, how do you wish to proceed?
I will close.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against ONCR 2526? Hearing none, Congresswoman Rivard, you have the floor.
Thank you, Speaker. As the last resolution on our agenda this morning, or this afternoon, you know, to revise our projected revenue. It's important. The reason it's important to me right now is that all the work that went in since we began session, and I was talking to second speaker, I said, I think we began CJO by August 1st. And what I've learned in this process and as I grow as a Congress person and is that all of our responsibilities and our roles in this nation, and I stand here as an elected official, and I kind of work fluidly through all our branches and entities, departments, and I think everybody's well aware of that, respecting our roles, not trying to overreach, trying to figure out what we can do and what we can't do, but working together is so important. I mean, even down to the CA committee, it was unfortunate we started out without a budget analyst because we didn't have to, but we did. But in that, I had to reach for the positive in that. And the positive was that second speaker stepped up, and I thank you tremendously in helping, because part of our rules say that, you know, the appropriations chair has to file certain bills during CJO. But understanding my role as a chair and as a Congress member and working with these outside entities, that the component units as we speak of, working with Treasury in the fashion that we did, working with Congressman Big Horse, I appreciate every something I say about you a lot, and I'm going to say it, is that people may not know about you because you're so quiet at times and critical in others when you speak. You follow me through these appropriations since day one, since I've served in this seat. But having the meetings with the chief's office prior to, and Treasury and Deering and working, and I just want to say thank you to everybody. But this resolution, it means something, because we revised it from the beginning to the end, and that's working with our entities such as our gaming enterprise, asking them, please listen to us. Listen to us as we move forward. But what they learned, they were educated as to what our requests really are now, because they finally thought, well, maybe we ought to ask, where are they coming from? But as the chair of commerce and using our vice chairs, Congressman Hamilton, I thank you too for stepping up. We asked him as an appropriations committee member, help us, and he did. He stepped up. He's like, I'll take some of these bills. We had a lot of Congress members that stepped up to help us get to where we are right now, voting on this resolution that increased our projected revenue, understanding it more, where the interest comes from, our retained revenue in prior years, our unspent funds, our unappropriated funds, and how we move this government. And I just want to say thank you to Speaker Shaw for walking along with us through this process during session from day one. You know, even the times that there was a lot of anxiety, what are we going to do? We got through it. And I want to say thank you to Trey Gill. He was actually entering in Excel spreadsheets alongside with Second Speaker and I to get a bill drafted for this body, because it's our job. He stepped up. And I want to thank everybody sitting here that stepped up, made calls to me as the chair that said, I want to help you, Jody. How can I help? I want to just thank everybody that did that, because this is where we are. And I just want to say thank you to the clerks, the assistant clerk, assistant chief, for the phone calls that you had taken. Everybody. This was the most active session. And again, we've been going since August 1st. And I just want to say thank you. And I just want to take that time. And I just appreciate everybody working with this team to get to where we are. I just want to say thank you. There was a lot of behind the scenes work that nobody's aware of that made this session go for our people, because that's our jobs. A lot of weekends were worked, a lot of evenings, hours and hours. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful as I stand here, because I do appreciate my job. So thank you to my colleagues that stepped up.
The question is, shall ONCR 2526 pass? Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. ONCR 2526 passes and will be advanced to enrollment. We are now on motions and notices. Just a moment, I'd like to give a very quick and brief closing report. Congresswoman Rivard, thank you for your words. I agree that this has been a good session. Someone said earlier that it's been a tough session. It has. We all have personal things that have occurred in this wonderful month, but we finished, and we finished strong, and we finished as a team, and we did a good job, and I'm proud of that. We approved $1 million to go into the permanent fund. That is so important. We funded merit for 2025, fully funded the health benefit fund and the scholarship fund. We're able to purchase or provide funds for a necessary purchase for heavy equipment so that we no longer have to incur rental and lease expenses for several of our departments. We approved the transportation plan, the gaming enterprise plan of operations, the CCLPCA plan of operations. Approved budgets for the executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch. Appropriations to the Gray Horse, Hominy, and Pawhuska Village Committee funds, very important. And also the rental assistance fund. During the session, 16 board appointees were considered, 12 of them were confirmed. I would also like to thank the executive team, everyone that put the work into creating the budgets, to the appropriations team. And I know that not having a budget analyst was difficult. And I thank the appropriations chair and vice chair for stepping up and filling that space and doing a really good job at it as well. I'd like to thank the treasurer and his staff, and all of the members in this room for putting in the work to make this a good session. At this time, I believe that we have completed everything that we need to complete, and I would like to adjourn the 2025 CCO session.